Here is part 4 of 4.
Not to try and get political, but that's one of the things I see going on in our country is that it's so easy to stir the pot. I have a philosophy that if you got them watching the left hand, you can't see what the right hand's doing.
Oh, it's always about misdirection when it comes to government. Always.
Right. Or just even, you know, the 1% controlling the population. And so I look at how they, you know, something's happening where the population seems to be paying attention and get aware and then throw some Kardashian shit out there or Kanye yelling at Taylor Swift. You know, some kind of shit like that gets blown out of proportion. So it gets the masses back to, oh, you know, like staring at the screen and like not watching what's going on around them.
Right.
And the current one seems to be obviously, you know, like with the huge race war where they've got everybody, they're stirring the pot, constantly getting everybody turned against each other.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, hey, instead of looking at what we have different, it's easy to point out what we have different. How about we point out what we all have in common? Okay.
Right.
Once you get over the obvious that person who is 4'5" and 90 pounds and that person who's 6'5", 380 pounds, they obviously are very different human beings. So let's put them down and sit down and start talking to them and find out they have so much in common.
Right.
And that's what we need to start doing. We need to be able to bridge those common grounds to be able to communicate and come together as a united front.
Right.
Against the 1% that's trying to use and abuse and keep us down and fighting amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
And so it's easy, you know, when you keep the population ignorant, it's easy to do that, to control them. An ignorant population is very easy to control.
Right.
Smart people are scary.
Well, and the thing, this is one of the reasons why I've never really liked politics, because it's always us versus them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what it should be is us, the people, versus politicians, them. Instead, it's, you know, left versus right, red versus blue. And
yeah.
It really shouldn't be. And it's sad. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, the powers that be, or whoever you want to, you know, doesn't matter who's in office, there's going to be a group of people that hate that person.
Yep.
It just, the coin flips every 8 years or every 4 years.
Yeah.
It's the same fucking coin, but it's just there's two different sides to it. That's how I look at it.
It's old and outdated. That coin is old and outdated. Seriously, it's a doubloon. Come on now. We need to make it something more common. But the thing is that I try and find that's, and again, that kind of actually ties into why I don't do like roast stuff, because it's easy. It's easy to make people hurt. You know, one of the things that I find is so integral for me for my comedy, and I bring this memory up to myself all the time. I did a benefit show, and like I said, I love doing benefit shows. I absolutely, for good causes. If I won't do a benefit show if I don't believe in the cause. And I was doing a benefit show for a mother who had lost her 17-year-old son in a drunk driving accident. Hit and killed her son. And so she was trying to raise money for his funeral expenses and everything that, you know, that goes along with that, plus her missing time from work and everything else like that, so making those arrangements and just not being able to work. And the show was on a Friday night. And it was one of those days that, those weeks that I'd put in probably about a 65-hour work week for my day job. I was exhausted. I was tired. And I just wasn't feeling it. I didn't have any energy at all. And you've seen me on stage. I have more of a high energy. I'm hyper. I'm high energy.
Right.
And I just wasn't feeling it. I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able, I don't know how the hell I'm going to get this energy out. And I was standing out in the hallway thinking, God, I wonder if there's any way that I can sneak out the back door and just not fucking be here. I'm tired. I just want to go home and put my feet up and watch some TV. Well, the mom came out. She was with one of her girlfriends. They didn't see me. They didn't know who I was. And the girlfriend was trying to console mom because mom just kind of just like burst into tears and she was crying. And she was talking to, you know, just about how soul crushing it was to lose her child. And she was trying to have a good time because her friends brought her out to this show, and she was trying to honor her son to be there. And at that moment, I dug deep and I was like, I don't give a shit what it takes. I will exhaust myself. I will find the energy somehow, but I'm going to get on this stage, and I don't care what the rest of the audience is, but I'm going to make that woman right there laugh the entire time I'm on stage. That's my sole purpose, my sole focus.
Yeah.
And she did, and she was laughing the entire time. And so afterwards, this was back when I still smoked, and I went outside to go smoke, and she came up to me afterwards, and she was crying, and she just was hugging me and kissing me, and she's like on the cheek and thanking me so much profusely for being there and how amazing it was. And for me, it was that reminder, because as somebody who's lost so many people in my life, you know, we've lost so many people in our lives. So we know that somebody out there in your audience, somebody needs to laugh. Somebody needs to escape from the horror or the doldrums or just the stress that they're going through in their day life. And that's, I feel, is my job as a comedian. When I get on stage, my job is to make them forget their reality for 10, 15, 20, 30, 45 minutes, an hour. However long I'm on stage, my job is to make them forget their troubles for that amount, that brief blip in time. And for me to say mean, cruel things to somebody, that could be the person who's hurting that needs me to make them laugh the most. That doesn't benefit them from me to hurt them more. That's why I don't do roast. That's why I don't do mean comedy. I try and stay, you know, positive. If I'm going to be roasting or mean to somebody, it's self-depreciating, you know. I guess, you know, I can handle that, but I'm not going to make that person hurt more.
Right. Sorry, I'm writing something down. I was like, oh, you know, I should write that fucking down. something I said 20 minutes ago.
That's funny. That's a shiny thing moment right there.
Yeah. That's definitely an ADD thing. Like, you know, you're talking about this serious thing, and my brain is going, that thing you said half an hour ago, write it down.
That was funny. Yeah, that was funny.
Don't forget. You know.
I get it. I told you. That's why in the middle of the night, I will grab my phone. The light from my phone will wake my ass up, but I'm still going to write that shit down.
Yeah, I'm going
to write it down, because I've had too many different occasions where I didn't write it down, and then I forgot it.
Right.
And it was gone forever.
You know, and the app I use, it's Google Keep, and the thing I like the most about it is the fact that you have a Gmail account, right? Everybody has a Gmail account. You can access it from your phone. You can access it from your computer. So if you have something and you're at your computer, go to keep.google.com, write that shit down. When you want to, like, tweak it later, have the app on your phone, pull up that note, and tweak away.
I'm going to have to try and check that out, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those good apps, for sure. It's one of the few that I've know that you can access from multiple locations without having to, like, worry about is this gonna show up on my other devices later, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
technology, man, you gotta love this.
Yeah, and this, like, a good example of that is the app I'm using to record the podcast is called Backpack Studio. I can, like, if I wanted to, I can even have, like, little, like, talk, you know, radio talk show, like, sound effects, you know, laughing and, you know, air horns, all, you know, the rim shot sounds, all that stuff. I have all that there if I wanted to use it. You can't hear it because you're calling in. But
Right. It's
there if I, you know, if I have someone, like, in the same room as me and we both have the headphones on, we can both hear it, but the app is like $10 on the iTunes store, and it's for recording. It's not just for podcasting; it could be used for anything. And it's you know, it And when you save it, you have options to what format you want to save it in. You can like save it to a specific app if you want, or you can export it to a file, and then you can transfer. You can then synchronize your device to your computer, and it'll put that file on your computer. So it's
So just out of curiosity, does that only do audio, or can you do audio and video?
It records audio, but it has the ability to save in video format, so that you can post that audio as a video. It doesn't do actual visuals, but if you wanting to do like video, hell, dude, all you really need is your phone already has a recording app for camera. You can record the video from that and post it to Facebook or YouTube. The YouTube app also does live streaming, and you can, you know, record it on your device and post it directly. Same thing with Facebook too, for that matter. But
I don't want to post my shit, like all of it. I want to be able to edit it and use it for media packet and stuff. So this is the biggest reason why the people go, "Oh my god, you're so funny. How come you don't get booked more?" Because I'm fucking old school, and I don't know how to use, like, all the technology to take all the video. I actually have a really good, an awesome video that an up-and-coming comic came to one of my shows and recorded the entire thing. I didn't know. And thankfully, because it was, like, the handset, it was the best performance of my entire existence. And he was kind enough to put it onto a DVD because it was too big of a file. It was 35 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And it was 35 minutes. Like, I'm telling you, I was punching the audience for 35 minutes. Bam, 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 bam. By the time I was done, I got off stage. I was dripping sweat and exhausted.
Oh, I bet.
And people were like, "Where are you going?" I'm going home. Are you kidding? I just laid it all out there.
I need to take a nap.
35 minutes. I'm exhausted. I'm an old lady. God. And so,
if I still smoked, I'd be having a cigarette.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like, seriously. So, like that video where you saw me over the top and being hyper for like 3 minutes, I did that for 35 minutes.
Oh, I can totally see you doing that. I mean, really.
And so, yeah. And so I was so exhausted. Well, he thankfully was sitting right in front of me and recorded the whole thing. And then it was too big of a file, so he ended up having to put it on the DVD for me. And I finally got the DVD. But I've never watched the DVD because I hate watching myself. I hate it. I hate it. I hate looking at myself. I hate listening to myself. I think it's horrible. I do shit. I put it behind me and I'm done. But I need to go in and actually review it and then take out like 5 minutes and use it for a media packet to use to get booked for other things.
Is that the video you had me rip from the DVD? I totally forgot that I was supposed to. Okay, this is a different one. Okay. I was like, had me rip a DVD once, and I don't think I ever did anything with it.
Oh, you gave it to me. No, okay. But this is a totally different one. And it was one of those ones where I was like, but I kind of am afraid to watch it too, because I was like, I'm afraid to think that, like, I felt that it's that perception thing. Like, I felt that was the greatest performance ever. And then I'm afraid to watch it and have that bubble burst. Like, oh, that was crap.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it wasn't crap, but I know it wasn't crap, but it was like, it maybe wasn't as good as I thought it was.
Right.
It was one of those things where I've always said, for me as a comic, my goal in comedy is to be as funny on stage as I am off of stage. And that attitude and what I do.
I think I have the wrong attitude then, because I've always thought, well, if I can make one person laugh, I'm good.
Well, I used to say that too, but for me, it was, as I progressed, I was like, I realized, and as I that self-awareness about myself and my comedy and how I do it, is that when I'm on stage, it's stuff that I've rehearsed. I mean, obviously, I've written it down. I know what I'm going to say. But when I'm off a stage and I'm doing stuff like on that video where I was so uncensored and uncut and I was just unleashed, that's me how I am.
Right.
So if I could take that hyper and that crazy off over the top on stage for my entire set And that's what I did for 35 minutes. I found that that's where I felt like I saw the goal, but now I just need to be consistent with that.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, we've been on the phone for a while. I think it's probably an 3 hours and 42 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I think that's long even for us.
Yeah. I think on average we talk an hour and a half, 2 hours. This is
always, yeah.
And we jump topics quite a few times, and like I said, I'm gonna probably have to edit it down to at least, probably actually going to be at least three at this point.
So, in other words, I'm going to have to make you work.
Yeah.
This is why I'm not on your podcast all the time, because it makes you work.
You know what, though? And that's probably what I need, though, honestly.
I think so. I think it's a positive thing.
I think if I actually actively had you come on the podcast more often, it would make me work better and make the podcast better, because you're elevating me.
I think so. I think that it would be good for me too. It's a good experience.
Yeah.
I'm interested. I would definitely, I think the only reason what's been holding us back in the past, and like I said, what I need to know what my time commitment would be, when, how often, and you're more of the, because you don't have the same kind of schedule that I do. So you're like, whenever I feel like it. No, dude, that shit don't work for me.
Yeah, I used to be more like, I need to record on these days because that's the day I have the most time. And that's when I worked.
I need structure. Yeah. I need structure.
And because I'm not working, yeah. Schedule. And you know what? If we were to go forward with actually having you on the podcast more and being an active part of it, I would love that. In fact, that would give me more to do during the week. That would give me something constructive.
Yeah, building your brand and learning how to market it. I mean, it's all really a tough gig of how to try and build that brand, how to market it, how to get it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, I'm patting myself on my back for the videos that Cutcasting has out of me. Like, once at, it's just, in 6 days, it's over 700,000.
Right. Yeah.
But then, and that's, I'm all like, and the other video, the biggest regret one was 1.8 million views already.
Holy shit.
But yeah, it's 1.8 million views already. And then I look and go, well, I can't really pat myself too hard on the back because they have over 7 million subscribers.
Right. And when I was watching the regrets video, I'm like, all these other people with the regrets are like, you do realize it's not too late. Mm-hmm. You can do something about that regret. Yours, however, is not something that you can go back and fix. Which I'm sorry, you know, but you know, it is what it is, and you learn from it and you move on, you know.
Right. And you know, it wasn't, you know, the thing is that it was so how that video happened. I actually did that video before the Truth or Drink video.
Okay.
And I did that video back in December. It was actually, I got tasked to do single parent. If you have ever been now or in the past have ever been a single parent, then that was what they were casting for. And with the understanding that of those 100 people that they cast, all of the footage was going to be presented for the casting directors for HBO's series Milk.
Oh, I remember you telling me that you did that. Okay.
Yes. So I was super excited to do that because I was like, even if I don't get cast on Smilf, like they could take any of that footage from that single parent that I did, and they ask you all these questions, right?
Right.
And they record everything, and then they edit out whatever they want to use. So the first question that they asked me which kind of like set the tone for all the questions they followed up with. As a single, I'm thinking as single parents, you know, I just know that they've got questions that they're going to ask me, and I'm going to have to respond to and, you know, react. And so the first question that they asked, they said, okay, so, you know, thanks for coming out, blah, blah. First question, when was the last time you masturbated? I'm thinking, and I'm trying to, like, answer the question and connect the dots in my head. Yeah. As a single parent, I think that that's a legit question. I was like, this morning, hello. And so then they asked me these different questions. They asked me, you know, like, describe the first time you met your newborn child. And so that, and I just posted that one on my Marianne Riley comedian page today.
Right.
About, you know, what my response was. And they actually had me in two different snippets on that one. And they were funny. And so then they asked some other questions. And then they asked, what was your biggest regret? And what was your greatest accomplishment as a parent? What was your greatest accomplishment? Which I had an amazing answer for, and so I'm not going to say what it was because I'm hoping that it'll actually be posted in the video. I'm going to have to probably bleed through a ton of those different videos, though. And I didn't even know any of these videos had come out. But they asked me, what was my greatest accomplishment? What was my greatest regret? What was, have I ever been in a threesome? Like, these are some questions that they legit asked, and so I'm answering truthfully for all these questions, right? I'm not knowing that they were going to take little snippets of they were going to take the answers for that one specific question and put it in all these different videos, which I'm fine with that. Like, good on you. Put it in as many videos as you can, because that gives me like face name, not necessarily name, but at least face recognition. And that combined with my truth or drink, maybe they'll connect the dots that was the same person. And so it was a tremendous amount of fun. But when they asked what my biggest regret was, like, the director stopped and got tissue for himself and for me. And he was like, can you say that again?
Wow.
But yeah. And he goes, that was really, really powerful stuff. Can you, you know,
it was almost like it was too real for him, huh?
Yeah. And so that's just it, though, so some of the questions that people, when you think about some of the answers that other people gave you, it's very spur of the moment, like look up to the left, think for a second, access the memory drive in your brain. What's some of your biggest regrets? Like, fuck, I don't know. And God bless those people who don't really have any serious regrets. Right.
Yeah, very true. But I mean, when I first was listening to those, and I'm like, I think if it was me, I probably would pick, like, you know, I regret not learning to play drums in high school. You know, that's something I could, if I really wanted to, I could learn it today.
Right.
That's a legit thing for me. I always wanted to learn to play drums, but I never did. Part of it was, yeah.
But here's the beauty of that regret. Here's that beauty of that regret. You're still breathing.
Yeah.
You're still moving. You may not be able to be like the drummer for Tenacious D, but you can still learn how to do that. Or, you know, there's a lot of different genres that you can do that. You don't even need to have an instructor. Hell, you can go on YouTube. You could go get a Wii.
Yeah.
And practice with a Wii. And still do the same fucking hand movements that would take you as a real drummer with a real drum and learn how to do that. In today's technology,
yeah,
there's a lot of different avenues for you to be able to learn that. And the most important takeaway from that is you still have tomorrow. You still have today and you have tomorrow. If it's something you really, really want and it's something that you want to focus your energy on, start doing it today because it's not too late. So many people, when they did a study. They did a study of like 1,000 people that were in the 70s, 80s, or close to dying, and are in a hospice. And they said, they asked them the question, what was your biggest regret? Almost unanimously, every single person responded to something that they didn't do. None of them had things that they regretted doing. They regretted things that they didn't do. That's the big takeaway from that. Think about the things that you regret that you didn't do.
Yeah.
And what can you do? Or if you made some kind of minor mistake or you're making a mistake, stop beating yourself up about that mistake. And how can you change that? What can you do differently?
Right. So
for me, I did something that was different, you know, and I didn't get to really delve into that, you know, of what I have, you know, done that it's just, you know, you find those things that you can't. In my situation, that was something that I beat myself up about. Something that, you know, now as an almost 50-year-old woman, I did when I was 22.
Right.
I wasn't able to be strong enough to do when I was 22. And I've had to come to grips with that and learn how to forgive myself for that and say, it's okay. In hindsight, you didn't have the knowledge that you would have needed back then to perform that, to be able to do that. So you need to be able to accept yourself and heal from that and to not beat yourself up with that.
Right.
But if there is something that you want to do, what's stopping you?
Me?
Fear, regret.
Stop
and realize. But why? You got a computer. Go look on YouTube. You got a Wii. Fucking use a Wii. Use those little hand things. Use something.
Right.
Use some spoons and a fucking garbage can lid. Something. Because it's never too old. It's never too late. You're never too old to pick. And if anything, this is the best time in the world to pick up something new because it reinvigorates you. This is what gets you out of that. People find. People get themselves in that rut. Push yourself when you least feel like doing something is when you better get your ass out there and do something because that's when you need it the most.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
That's the secret to being positive and staying happy and healthy.
Yeah.
Mentally. Is to, you know, when you least want to do it,
that's,
I don't care. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. If you can't crawl, have somebody fucking push you or drag you.
Yeah.
Seriously, but don't ever. And it's funny because that actually right there is one of my favorite quotes from somebody whose holiday it is this weekend. Dr. Martin Luther King.
Oh, that is this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that was his quote. You can't, you know, whatever you do, do not stop pushing forward.
Right.
And that's right there. That's what the difference between people who succeed and people who sit on the sidelines and wish that they could. Because the people who succeed are the people who, at all their failures, kept getting up and just kept doing it. And that's true in comedy. That's true in anything else. You know what? You get made fun of. You get laughed at. You get jeered off stage. You get thrown off stage. But you know what? You keep freaking going back and rewriting and getting better. And you keep going and you keep pushing yourself and you keep doing it and you keep working your craft, whatever it is, until you get it right. And then you just keep getting better at it. But you just don't ever give up.
Right. And you know, that actually reminds me, I think it was attributed to Edison. He's like, he didn't just invent the light bulb. He invented, mm-hmm. was it 300 something other ways to not make a light bulb?
Yes. Yes.
That's paraphrasing, mind you, but yeah.
No, and you're right, though. It's because we are so such, we've had it broken our faith and beaten our faith that failure is wrong, that failing at something is bad. Fuck no, it's not bad. Failure is just a way of not doing something. You know what? Failure is so good. It's everybody fails. You know why? Because you can't succeed. Nobody succeeds right from the beginning all the time, every time. You have to, it's that constantly getting back up. Okay, nope, that wasn't the way to do it. Okay, let's do it. Try it this way. Nope, that didn't work. Okay, let's try it this way. Okay, let's do it.
What happened? I think I lost her. Let me try calling her back. I think her phone.
Sorry.
What happened? All I know is it click right in the middle of what you're talking about.
I know, me too. Well, maybe we exceeded our time limit. Four hours is enough for two human beings to talk.
Shut up already. I've had enough. Yeah, that's...
You're getting, our phones both, overheated and said, we got to shut these people down. Seriously, these human beings have been talking for four freaking hours. That's five fucking podcasts. Shut the fuck up already.
Yeah, I'll be busy, cutting these up into smaller pieces for sure. And it won't be just,
but that's great. And
that's fine. I have no problem with that. It's just, I haven't spent that much time in using Audacity in a while. So it'll be, good for me, I think.
I think so. It's a very positive experience.
Yeah.
So it's good. Knock the cobwebs off.
Definitely. Well, at this point, how about you share with the listeners where they can find you on social medias. You can give them your comedy page.
And I'm such a dinosaur.
Hello?
Logically advanced cousin. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you cut out for a second, but yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, geez, I don't know what happened. So thanks to you, I actually have a Facebook comedy page that is public, and it's Marianne, Marianne. Riley, R-E-I-L-L-Y. I had to spell that because, our Irish heritage, not everybody understands.
Right.
Marianne Riley Comedian.
Comedy.
On Facebook. Comedy. Marianne Riley Comedy. Thank you. On Facebook. And I've been trying to actually post any of the shows that I'm doing and any of my videos and stuff like that. As it becomes public, I'm able to pull it off and dump it into there so that people can see that and find me. And I'm doing this benefit show for the food bank in Tenino. I'm very excited about this. I'm so blessed to be able to be a part of this, and I love
hello
is that me or you?
I don't know, because you cut out like hello.
I know, I'm not doing anything different, this is weird. So, but I was saying I'm very blessed to be with the people in my comedy sphere that know that I have a very soft spot in my life for what I believe in, and I'm thrilled to be a part of a food bank. I'm so excited for this. It's a food bank, and they're doing their auction stuff, and it's on my Facebook page this week. And then I have the Light the Night LLS, and that one is way down. It's in September 4th, of 2019 and 5 at Louis G's. But we're already looking for sponsors. We're already looking for people to donate, and we're looking to just have people on board and get excited for that show as well. And the rest of my stuff you can absolutely find on my page.
And I'm gonna go ahead and post the link to your comedy page on the podcast page so people can find it. So if nothing else,
and I appreciate.
Not a problem. Yeah, I always enjoy talking to you, Marianne. And like I said, I've for a while there, I was wanting to I want to do podcasts with you because I always have fun talking to you. So, Anytime, you know, I can get you on here, I'm more than happy to have you on.
I love it. I love having these different... is near. I really enjoy doing the podcast and stuff. And I always, of course, you know, of all of our cousins, I mean, we come from a big Irish family. So of all the cousins, you and I have the most in common. We're like siblings.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're definitely.
Even if I was to become hugely famous and overnight sensation, you would be there to kick my ass and keep me humble and grounded.
I would definitely be like, yeah, remember when you did this? Like, why did you bring that up now? Like, because.
Because we're Irish and that's what we do.
You know, I just want to just, you know, remind you, you know. You're not that cool. Come on now.
Yeah, right. You better check yourself, girl.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you do a lot. You do a lot of comedy. You do comedy in Tacoma. So if people are in the south end of Western Washington, you can probably see her at open mics. You know, and she, like she said, she's going to post stuff on her page for you know, gigs where she's actually purposely being funny and not just testing things out. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. But although I've seen you do some open mics where you just fucking killed. I'm like, oh my God. Like,
it was new stuff. It was new stuff that I was trying out. And those things, are some of, those are my closers that I use now. And
yeah.
It's been able to level me up to a different, the height that I've been able to bring it from. And this is becomes from just writing all the time and rewriting things and just constantly keeping those creative juices flowing. So when you're constantly writing, again, like I told you, it doesn't matter if you're writing just you're depressed, you're having a bad day, it doesn't matter. Put pen to paper and let whatever's going on in your brain come out, let it out, let it manifest, let it just, and then you sit there and you start thinking about it. I can't tell you how many times I'm driving and I have to pull off the road
to write
just
down.
To start writing stuff down. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. I don't care if I'm going to be late. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to pull over. I'm going to write this down. I'm going to seize this moment and then I will let it continue to percolate. And then I will go back and I will take that concept and say, okay, let's just put this on the paper and let's just start thinking about all the different things around it and let that potential come out and be able to enjoy that moment. It's phenomenal. But it becomes a habit.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, anytime I think of something funny and go, I'm going to put that in my Google Keep for later for me to, you know, go through when I'm bored and wanting something to do, I'll sometimes look through there and look at stuff that I wrote and sometimes I'll tweak it a bit and rewrite it and things like that. And I still have stuff in there from when I tried it 5 years ago, Marianne.
Yeah.
So.
Guess what, Todd?
Yeah.
I have shit that I wrote 15 years ago that didn't work 15 years ago, but I still keep it in the back of the closet.
Right.
Because I've had things where I wrote and went, that's okay, but standalone, it wasn't funny. But then something popped into my head and I was like, oh my God, that's great. That's amazing. And then I pulled that shit out and guess what? I dusted off some stuff out of the closet because I remembered it was back there and I connected them and just now it works.
Right.
I just look at it as those concepts, they're not ready yet. They aren't ready to be developed yet. Just keep them back in the dark.
Right.
You know, like those, the old film, keep it back in the dark. Don't let it get exposed yet. Don't overexpose it too soon. And then when it's ready, then you can pull it out and massage it and make it work and connect it to other things. And it could be something really brilliant. But you can't do that if you're not writing that stuff down, always writing. And again, it doesn't matter if you don't think that it's funny or not. Genius is other people's rejections.
True. Yeah. And I want to say that our humor definitely comes from grandma's side of the family. I mean,
oh God, yeah.
She had a fantastic sense of humor. Yeah. One of my favorite stories to tell, and she told me this, and I may like have some of the details wrong, but I have this story of Grandma Mary that she told me how she went back home to visit in Ireland, and she had taken, I had introduced her to this practical joke thing called shit in a can. It was basically a can of mousse, but it was brown.
Right.
Hair mousse. And then she took it with her back home to visit. And whoever she was staying with, she, you know, grandma get up in the middle of the night, she'd have a glass of water and then go back to bed. She got up in the middle of the night, had a glass of water, and while she was up and about, she went over to her bag and grabbed that thing of shit in a can and sprayed out a log on the middle of the floor and went back to bed and forgot about it. She says, all I know is I got woken up the next morning and went, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, who let the feckin' dog in the house? We don't have a dog. Well, where the fuck did this come from?
The neighbor's dog.
It's like, how long did you wait before you told them that you did that and it's not real? It's like, no, I waited like 10, 20, I waited a while before I said anything. I had a good laugh over it. So, yeah. I don't know. That's definitely one of my favorite stories, and the story of I don't remember who all went. All I know is she told me a story of going to the zoo with our cousin Una and I think a few other people. And they went to the primate house, and one of the primates really liked Una.
Right.
Did you hear this story?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the people listening are like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's like, well, use your imagination. He really, really liked her. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, poor Una. I'm sure that wasn't something she wanted to see when she went to the zoo. But,
yeah, I don't think anybody wants to see that when they go to the zoo. The primates, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, if I got something, well, I can say I've had, you know, they were just barely a step above a primate to do that. That sounds actually, you know what? I think what you want to do with that, here's how you take that primate. That primate, Louis C.K. Una.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Yes,
that
exactly.
That primate, Louis C.K. That primate was ahead of his time. He Louis C.K.'d-er.
You know what's funny is, and maybe not funny, but I'm not at all surprised that Louis got himself into trouble over. I don't even know the whole story. I just know that he got himself into trouble with the Me Too movement. And you know what? Fuck him.
Oh, no. He's a total douchebag. There was just something about him. I've never watched his shit. He just always came across as creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
And not just creepy, but he also came across as very entitled, a middle-aged white man.
Yeah.
Entitled. And so when I actually, I read what he did, I was like, oh yeah, fuck him. He's a douche. That right there is the epitome of an entitled
right.
white man.
Yeah.
What he did. Yeah. I'm not surprised. And so, and yeah, he's very disgusting. I mean, I was like, well, you know, that's a whole different.
Right.
That right there is another podcast of its own.
Oh, definitely. We could totally go on about shitty comedians and stuff.
Oh yeah.
You know,
not just shitty comedians, but shitty human beings.
Oh, and yeah, in general, yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, like, you know, maybe we should just go ahead and cut it off here because we've already tried stopping like 5 times.
Right, and that's pretty much us. For your listeners who may not know, like, our dynamic as family and cousins, and we are the youngest cousins.
We are the youngest too, yeah.
Yeah, we are the two youngest cousins of our siblings, like, yeah. Out of all of our siblings.
You're the youngest of 3, I'm the youngest of 5, yeah.
Right. And well, from my mom and my dad, I'm actually kind of the middle child for my dad.
Right.
But for our mothers, I'm the baby and you're the baby. And right. So for us, at our age, we're very close in age. You're like what, 6 years younger than me?
I was born in 71, so.
And I was born in 69, so yeah, we're both September babies.
Yeah.
So.
Like 3 or 4 days apart, in like a year or two.
Yeah. But you're still a Virgo, right?
Yeah, I'm on the cusp, but.
You're on the cusp. You're a Virgo, and I'm kind of a little bit on the cusp. I'm a Libra, but we're still very similar, and yeah. We have a lot of that in common, right?
Yeah.
And so, for us, as I've always said, there is a huge difference between being Irish and being raised Irish.
Yeah.
We were raised Irish. We're mm-hmm. not just Irish. We were raised Irish.
Right.
So as such, like, we can say goodbye 5 times within an hour, but then something else will sidetrack us, and we got to go follow that truck because we might forget it. So we got to talk about it now. And then we're going to say goodbye again. But wait, that sparked this. And then we're going to talk about that for a minute. And then we're going to say goodbye. And then, oh, wait, that sparked this. Because goodbye doesn't mean goodbye.
Right.
It means, wait a minute, we're getting prepared.
We're working on getting out the door. And going to our grandmother and grandfather's house, we would be getting ready to leave like at 6:30. And we wouldn't leave the house until like probably close to 8.
Right. Exactly.
And Grandpa would the last thing Grandpa would always say is, oh, leaving so soon.
Yes. And that's just it, though. So we knew, I think, as children, we put our coats on and our shoes on, and we sat on the couch and waited.
Waited for the adults to stop talking.
And we just kept watching TV because we knew this was going to take a while. Actually, we got to the point where we put our coats on because we got yelled at if we didn't have the coats on.
Right, yeah.
But after half hour, we could take the coat off and put it in our lap. But we couldn't go hang it up. We had to put it in our lap. And we had to have our shoes on and be ready to leave when they were ready to leave. The adults, like, they're like...
Right, yeah,
And God help you. God help you if you said, we were leaving. No, you did not just say...
What did you just say? Nothing. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. Did you just tell me... kids, did you just say... No, mom. No, ma'am. I didn't say nothing. No, sorry. I'm sitting here quietly.
Yeah.
You only said that. You only said that once or twice.
Yeah.
You didn't say that again. You thought it a lot, but you didn't ever say that shit. You knew better. You
never vocalized it. Yeah. And
if there was a shoe coming across the room at you. If you said shit like that out loud, there was a shoe coming at you.
There wasn't a foot. Right, and not to point fingers, but I think your mom was scarier than my mom.
Oh no, pass down my mom. Your mom was a cream puff. My mom was a nightmare.
When my mom raised her voice, she knew she was angry. When your mom raised her voice, we all hid.
Yeah. Oh, my mom. I've only met one human being that ever scared me more than my mom when they raised their voice, and that was my Uncle John on my other side, my dad's side of the family. And my Uncle John, he married into the family. He was a huge Alaska Native.
Oh, wow.
And when I say huge, John was like 6'2", 300 pounds. He was a ginormous man. Loved him to death. But that man, I swear to God, I heard him one time. We was at my other grandma's over in Eastern Washington.
Yeah.
Outside camping, sleeping in the tents in the yard. And we were getting too loud, and John yelled. I think technically it's called bellowed. And birds flying overhead froze, stopped flying. They stopped flopping their wings and hit the ground. We found them the next morning on the ground because they heard John yell, bellow, and they just like froze in mid-flight.
Oh,
my mom
brilliant.
Was good, but she wasn't quite that. She was almost that good. She was almost that good. Like the birds would hesitate, but they were like, oh, okay, and they keep flying. John, nope. They were afraid to start as they were plummeting to the ground. They're like, it's what was going to happen otherwise.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, we really should probably cut this off.
Yes.
Next time I have you on, though, I'm going to have you tell a story about Bigfoot over in Eastern Washington and your mom and you and your siblings.
Yeah.
So next time.
Oh, and the bikers. And
the bikers, yes. Yes. The stories of your mom over in Eastern Washington, I'm sure, are still being told today.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And just to kind of to recap, people can find you at Marianne Riley Comedy on Facebook. I shared the link on the Facebook page for the podcast, and you can click on it there. And definitely follow her. And if you live in the Pierce County area, keep an eye on those local comedy shows. She might show up, you know. And definitely check out the shows that she's getting paid to be there, too, because she's really, really funny. So,
thank you. I appreciate that.
Not a problem. Talk to you later, Marianne.
All right, cuz.